Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, welcome, everybody. A nice group. As Helen said, if you feel like coming forward at any point to make us feel a bit more engaged, then please do. Please don't sit at the back. Come and join us. What we're going to do over the next hour is take you on a journey. We're going to take you on a journey of Dorset County Council, where it was and where it's come to and where it's going. We've not finished the journey yet, so we've got a long way to go. In there, we're going to use words like wow and radical and other such things, which aren't normally associated with a county council. But one of the reasons I was keen that we would bring the case study with you today is this is a bit different. And you'll find that out when Helen talks it through and subsequently I talk it through with you. So I hope you experience something a bit different, learn some stuff and take it away. We're going to be introducing a model to you you've probably not seen before. Just to introduce ourselves, Helen is the lead for coaching at Dorset County Council in their L&D team. I am a third-party contractor, supplier, to the County Council. But the great part of this story is that I haven't had an enormous amount of involvement in terms of I've been steering, but it hasn't been a full-on programme, which is why it's all around austerity, this piece, is around how have they done it in a time when everything's been getting smaller and more stressful and all that sort of stuff. So actually my involvement's been minimal, but...
true to say, he hasn't had an enormous amount of money either. So,
yeah. It's true, but we've had a great impact, and that's really the story we want to tell you. So Helen's going to talk it through with you. When my bits come in, I'll come and talk, and then hopefully we'll share it. Ask questions, please feel free to be relaxed about it all, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Helen.
Thank you. And I think that from what I just said there, that is quite genuine. We have had a partnership in this journey. And, you know, there were many commercial organisations that would have taken huge sums of money from us to help us get where we are. But this was a very different approach. And it's because of that and because of our position in the public sector and the lack of money that we have, that I was particularly keen to share the journey and use our experience as a case study. So where did we start off? We started where a lot of organisations start. All this good stuff. How can we increase motivation, get more from people, improve engagement and empower them? But interestingly, without feeding into that long hours culture, without looking at people burning out or reporting that they're stressed, you know, like many organisations, we wanted it all, really. So that was the challenge that was set. And the reason was that this journey that we're going to take you through starts in about 2013, when the message of the government austerity with local councils was just beginning to really... it was just there. It wasn't quite biting, but it had started. It's all when we're going to reduce budgets. And it's a little bit about the context of where we were at the time. The language in our organisation was efficiency savings, budget cuts, expected to do more with less. That was very much the rhetoric, you know. Oh, everyone's expected to do more with less. Well, you know, how are we going to do that? So, of course, there was the straightforward answer, as a lot of local government organisations did. We created a massive change programme, and we put a change programme team in, and we called it Forward Together, and it's been revised since, and it's now Forward Together 2020. We restructured our staffing, we redesigned our services, we took money out of our budgets, you name it, we did it. We revised our policies, our procedures, major piece of work going forward. So that was a straightforward answer because that's what everyone does. That's what, you know, when you have to make these major, we needed culture change, we needed transformation. The slightly more challenging answer, that in addition to doing all this, it was felt that what we actually needed was a coaching culture, because this was going to be the answer, because we knew, the evidence is there, that coaching in organisations improves engagement, improves motivation, empowers people. And that was exactly where our people plan sits, empowered people, smarter services, greater independence. So it fitted with that. So really good. We were going to get some of this coaching culture. So there was lots of other people being very busy on all this big high finance stuff. And there was me and my very tiny learning and organisational development team going, that's quite an interesting one, that. I wonder what we actually mean. what's this coaching culture all about? People who had it loved it, but could anyone tell us what it actually was? I'm sure in a room full of coaches, you are all perfectly able. But believe me, in local government, in tiny little Dorset, in 2013, we were struggling. And just a little bit about who we are. So Dorset County Council, mid-sized Shire County in the south-southwest of England. Essentially rural, because we were one of those large county councils that went through numerous local government reorganisations. But we created two unitary authorities of Bournemouth and Poole, probably 20 years ago. So they got the coast and the tourists and right there, and we got the rest. So our biggest town is Dorchester, and our next biggest town is Weymouth. So, but we cover that whole rural wraparound of our two unitary authorities. So we serve a population, depending on whether you look at the census or, you know, 415,000 to 420,000 is the population of the communities that we serve. We currently have a staff group of just over 4,000. But I've put on the slide here that in 2013, when we started this journey, it was over 6,000. So you can see, and headcount's even more impressive. This is headcount, not full-time equivalent. So full-time equivalent went from something like 4,200 to about 3,100. But, you know, actually over 2,000 staff taken out during the period that I'm talking about. And what do we do? I'm sure you're familiar with the public sector. We deliver services to children, to adults, to the economy and to the environment. So that's who we are. And just the final thing there, in terms of the savings, efficiencies and budgets, at its peak, and it does sound like a ridiculous amount of money now, in 2010, the revenue support grant from central government to Dorset County Council was just under £80 million. Next year, in 2018-19, it will be £2 million. Should be zero, but it's going to be two because they're giving us a bit of flex. So far already, our revenue support grant has dropped from That peak figure there, nearly 80 million, we're now at 6.5 million for this year. So in this period, from 2013 to now, we have taken out over 60 million of our budget. But the demand for services goes up and up. You can see why we needed a coaching culture, can't you? So I'm going to just talk a little bit about this journey. I think I've explained to you already, we were nothing more than curious, but at least we were curious. We were there saying, okay, what is it? What will it look like? How will we know when we've got it? Can anyone describe it? And we started the usual thing, you know, what will people be saying when they're expressing a coaching culture? What will the behaviour look like? How will it be different? So we started to develop a degree of confidence and have some plan for what we might do. Up to where we are, you know, this is the journey. So coaching culture, I'll leave you to judge at the end. Have we got it? We think yes, but the graphic just shows you we've got the pieces of the jigsaw. They fit. They're a mixed colour. We know they'd go together. But we're a long way from completing that jigsaw. We are still on that journey. But back in 2013, we probably didn't even have the picture on the jigsaw puzzle box lid. You know, we were that far. But what we knew we needed to do was develop coaching skills. Develop coaching skills for our managers. If we wanted water cooler conversations, coaching conversations, if we wanted managers to really listen and empower their people, we needed them to be skilled in coaching. So in 2014, we were quite radical, and we were particularly radical for a local authority. Apart from some highly specialised and mandated areas like social work and mental health practitioners, outside of our specialist budgets, our actual core training budget was actually quite modest. It was 141,000 for over 6,000 people. So it's not a lot. But what that had wrapped up in it was our leadership and management training. And we had a very traditional leadership and management training. We had people doing the ILM level 3, level 5, and a few lucky folk doing the level 7. And alongside that, we added lots of workshops on getting to know your staff and managing sickness and negotiation skills and all of those sorts of what some would may describe the soft skills. But what we looked at when we reviewed it, that 141,000, 102,000 of it was being spent on qualifications. And when we reviewed that, we found that was fabulous for those individuals. And if we were really lucky, it was a little bit fabulous for the people in their team. Beyond that, could we see the impact? Absolutely not. So we had, you know, something like 70% of our core learning and development budget invested in a small number of people where there wasn't. And we were like that because that's what we'd always done. Can I just say I didn't manage the core bit at all of that time? But that's what we'd always done. You know, it was a bit like reward. You know, you work really hard. If you're really lucky and had lots of spare time, including all your Sundays, you could do a qualification through us and we'd pay for it. Wasn't working, wasn't having an impact. The other thing was that when we reviewed this with managers, what they told us was they were absolutely clear that they knew what they needed to do. What they struggled with was how to do it. And I don't know, I know a number of colleagues here were in Steve's session. We're no different to anyone else. We take our best operational folk and we promote them and promote them and promote them, almost to the point where they probably can't function at all because they're so far from being a civil engineer or an occupational therapist or a learning and development professional, wherever it was they started, that we've now got them leading transformation programs and running action learning sets and engaging with the community and arranging consultations. And they say, this is quite a long way from surveying a bridge, Helen. I think I need a few extra skills. So what we decided, we put a business case together and said, you know, we've got this great idea. Let's scrap all of those qualifications. That was popular, I can tell you. Let's scrap all those qualifications and put that little bit of money to everyone. Let's do a little for all rather than a lot for a little. And of that little, if this is what we need, let's make that little coaching skills. This is what we can get. This is the, you know, there is empirical evidence out there that shows how organisations can move with coaching. Well, our senior leaders were so impressed, they said, do you know what? You haven't had much money, but if you're going to do that, you can now have a bit more. It was great. So we got some of the transformation fund. And all of our people managers, so at the time when we planned the programme, early 2014, that was just over 1,000 of them, had 2 days coaching skills training. Non-accredited, but we used coaches, you know, non-accredited, but 2 days on individual coaching skills, how to coach with their teams, bit of upward coaching on coaching skills. So, and actually, to date, the numbers have changed, but 88% of that middle and manager and people manager community have had the experience of 2 days coach training, and we do follow up. Okay. So all our people managers received training in coaching skills. So alongside that, the other thing that we did was we thought, if we're going to get this coaching culture, we need some of these people involved and we need some leads. In local government, you'll be aware, every now and again we have, well, quite often, about once a quarter, we have a new initiative and we recruit champions for it. So we have OBA champions, we have wellbeing champions, we have IT champions, you name it, especially doing more with less. Anybody who goes, I'm quite interested, oh, you can be a champion. We like champions. So I was reluctant to recruit coaching champions, but clearly needed more than just me and my part-time colleague Amanda in an organisation of this number of people to get coaching off the ground. So we created the opportunity for a number of people to train to do the ILM Level 5 accredited. And in the next period, we trained 16 coaches accredited, and we used them to start our one-to-one coaching. We hadn't launched it at this stage. We were just getting them trained. We trained them in mixed groups with other public sector and private sector organisations in the Southwest. So we didn't take a group of 16 and all Dorset. We sent them out sort of three at a time, to, and they got their ILM Level 5. And the coaching one-to-one that we started then was their hours that they needed to evidence their award. So that's how we started. So it was all very low-key, but we were confident we were moving towards this culture because, as I said, we developed our managers. And by that time, 2014, we'd taken about 230 managers, people managers, through 2 days coaching. We'd also trained a number of our coaches to the ILM Level 5. And so here we were a year on then from on our journey to coaching culture, and where were we? Well, you'd be quite convinced, wouldn't you, that we had this coaching culture now over all our managers trained in coaching. 2015, we still couldn't describe it. I, you know, happily told everyone, yes, we're moving towards it. We've got our ILM qualified coaches and they're very keen, and we've got our managers. We were still struggling to articulate what it would be. And that's not, some might disagree, it's not generally because I'm stupid. You know, I'd done the research, I'd done the reading. I still couldn't find anything. You know, I'd highlighted bits and gone, Dorset County Council, and that, it's really not going to work for us. And then we had our light bulb moment. And as they so often are, this was purely and utterly by chance. In July 2015, I'm involved in South West Council through our local government association. And I went to, I think it was probably then about their second ever coaching conference, because they picked up finally that it's what we needed to be doing. And when the programme came through, I thought, slightly sceptical, oh, unlimited potential, creating a coaching culture, that would be good then. Off I'll go, I'll come back and know how to do that. So selected that workshop and off I went. And before I went to the conference back, I had an email that just said, you know, if you're coming to this workshop, how do you fancy completing this diagnostic? I thought, yeah, okay, be honest. This is going to measure my coaching culture. This will be good. So I filled in the diagnostic and was absolutely blown away by what I got back. So we really needed Einstein of coaching culture, and I got Tim. But he has been as good. He has been as good. He didn't approve all the slides.
She didn't take that out.
He has been as good. So this is what I received. And I'm going to... Okay, as learning and development professionals, we know the knowing, doing, being. And I can easily describe an organisation in three levels, you know, fairly down there in operation, all the work of middle people in the middle and senior. That wasn't hard. I had never seen the two put together in terms of coaching culture as a dynamic diagnostic. So I had one other colleague who came to the same workshop and afterwards said to me, "That was blooming good, wasn't it? Have you got one of these?" And have you? I said, "Absolutely. You know, it's fantastic." So what we did then is we went back and persuaded others that our lead coaches or our coaching champions, the 16, 17 including me, would undertake the diagnostic because A, it would give us a baseline. And so we got our tailored guide to a great coaching culture at Dorset County Council, and my life changed. By this time, we had spent, and Tim came to spend an afternoon with us, excluding the VAT, I didn't tell you this because it's probably different rates, but it wasn't a lot over £1,000. And I had struggled for 18 months to get even close to being able to describe this. But what we really got, absolute surprise and delight. Here was a model that measured a coaching culture. It gave us a tool to measure. it described a coaching culture. You might have all been all familiar. You know, you might think, well, that was easy because we've done the same in a coaching culture. What did she make such a fuss about? But more importantly, the language and the model resonated with our organisation. Our coaching, our organisational diagnostic, it didn't say anything about, and if you have 100 of our external coaches to work with your senior team, you'll have it in 2 years. In fact, in the intro, when I got it back finally, we paid our £1,000 before Tim came, and I had the thing, it said something like, all you need to do now is make this happen. Good luck. If you need any help, please phone. You know, there was no hard sell, and here was something I could do. But what we also got is the knowledge, expertise and experience from Unlimited Potential and from our very own Einstein on somebody who had undertaken this and been doing it elsewhere. So I'm going to pass you over to Tim. I was so disappointed with this, because he's going to talk to you about what the tool is, what the diagnostic is, and I'm slightly embarrassed here, what our results were, and they were below. There was some benchmarking involved. We were below other public sector organisations at this stage. Wasn't good, was it?
It was fine, Helen, it was fine. Slightly humbled by Helen's intro, I have to admit, it's a bit embarrassing. Okay, so what I want to do is take you back a bit, because to understand this model and how we collided in the universe, if you like, I need to help you understand the model, because we're going to do some interpreting of the details and how it works. The great thing is Helen's described to you exactly my intention with this model, which has taken me and a colleague, Stuart Hayden, about 3 years to pull together. But actually, you know, what Helen's described is exactly what we intended it to do, which was to help people understand what is a coaching culture very simply. Now, first of all, I define a coaching culture very easily as a hierarchy of equals. So you live in a hierarchy which we respect and understand. We have people we work for that we trust, but we're all equal human beings. Simple as that, okay? And as difficult as that at the same time. So what we did was, in order to make the model work, and as Helen described, we introduced, well, I say we didn't introduce them. It's the first time I've used my big pen. I'm really excited about this big chunky pen. I think ILM introduced the no-do-be concept. Do we know what coaching is in this case? Are we doing it practically? And in Helen's case, she'd been doing some training with their 88% of their managers, so they've been doing. And then being, is this something we do around here? Is this the culture that we operate in? So we have what we call three maturity levels of coaching with which we could measure against. We then said, as was shown earlier in the model, let's split the organisation into three areas. There's the workforce, that's individuals that don't have a management portfolio at all. And then you've got your middle and junior managers. Junior managers, right? That's all your managers, essentially. You have some sort of management portfolio, whether it be resources, time, money. Okay, and then at the top, there's your senior managers. Now, this is restricted to, and this is important in terms of understanding, the top 10, 12, what we might call the board, the senior leadership team, the exec team. What do you call yours, Helen? The senior team?
Leadership team. Corporate leadership team.
Okay. So, and they're just the top 10. So most of your managers, well, almost all of your managers will fit into there. And then what we did was we put them into this matrix, which you can see. We had the maturity levels of coaching. Do we know what we're doing? Are we doing it? And then are we being it? And then the levels down the side with the workforce at the top and coming down. Now, when you throw them together on the page, it generates what we call the nine dimensions of a coaching culture. And any of you who have seen me speak before will see me speak on the nine dimensions of a coaching culture. So once we had that, we had to identify in each of these nine dimensions what was going on, what they meant. This is all relevant. I went to the McCain presentation before this, and everything that they talked about came out in here. It's all there. Bits were missing. Some bits were there. But what this does do is it says, here's everything you need to do to create a coaching culture. You don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to do it all now. But you've got to start somewhere. And the danger is most companies, as Helen's already identified, most companies and organisations do lots of coach training and more and more, and nothing happens. And there's no coaching culture, and then eventually it fizzles out. Why is that? Very simply because they're in this middle box here. Junior middle managers build coaching skills. That's all they're doing, one dimension. And if you keep throwing all your money at one dimension, you're not going to get a coaching culture. So to just walk you through, because I want to improve your understanding, we're going to interpret this map. There's a score at the top. You do. There's three questions for each box. There's 27 questions in the diagnostic, and they're 1 to 10 scaled. And out of that, we can get a series of percentage scores, which you can see on the screen here. And they essentially tell you your progress of your journey in coaching. So if you're 100%, you're all the way there. No one's ever scored 100%. If you're 40%, you've got a long, reasonable way to go. If you're 20%, you're in real trouble. It does happen. We get quite a lot about that. And then we are able to give a percentage score to each of the dimensions through the diagnostic. And then the colour scheme, the RAG scheme, we take, and this gets a little bit technical now, I don't fully understand it, but we take the range of scores and essentially split it by three to red, amber, green it. The idea of that is that if your score is 90% and all your scores are really, really high, it still demonstrates areas where you need to improve. So there's always red, there's always a red box, there's always one green box. That way, that even if you've got a really good coaching culture, you know where to focus on next. Does that make sense? Good. Okay. So in this respect, what do we know about Helen's organisation? She had about six or seven people fill this in. Just a rough idea. Anyone, what if you received that based on what I told you, what would you think?